Turn with me again in the Gospel of Matthew to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel and reading from chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, we begin in verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, the Lord from heaven, God Almighty speaks here, not Moses, as he said elsewhere when addressing the law. But I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I was talking last week to, not meaning to embarrass, talking to Elaine last week, and she was talking about her husband Leslie, and by his stage name Johnny Orlando, is that right? He sometimes covers other people's songs. Makes a living from doing it. Sometimes sings his own songs, sometimes covers other people's songs. Lots of people do that. Lots of people will copy in a different style, a different manner, another person's song. You will find in the fashion world, especially, that which appears on the catwalk one week by a designer, by a famous designer with an expensive label within days, probably nowadays, is replicated being sewn in some sweatshop in Taiwan or Singapore or wherever, and it's on the high street. Within days or weeks, in all the high street stores, which are far more affordable to the general public. You see, to keep up with fashion, people do not wear the same exact self-same label as is seen on the catwalk. They wear a copy. It's always a copy. You who think you are keeping up with fashion, you're not. Unless you really are wearing the label. And there are probably only a certain number, only a limited number produced by a certain label. You are following after a copy. Everything in life, to some degree or another, is a copy. Is a copy. One of my bugbears, as you know, I like my coffee. I like my coffee. And if I often say, if I wanted a cup of Horlicks, which is for old people late at night, a nice malty drink. If I wanted a milky drink, I'd make it at home. But if I ask for a coffee, I want a coffee. But how many coffee chains are there on the high streets now? How many are there? And They all, even the baker shops, they all purport to serve up cappuccinos. you will find very few of them actually making a proper cappuccino. But go to Italy, it's almost blasphemy to the Italians to see the way so-called cappuccinos are made over here. See, there are copies throughout the world, copies, people trying their hand at something that is not the original. Well, everything about the law given at Sinai, everything about the law given at Sinai, we're told in the book of Hebrews, where being addressed here were Hebrew believers on the Lord Jesus Christ who were being tempted to go back to the law of Moses. They were told that these things were copies of the true. They were copies of the true, made after, as Moses was told, after the pattern that he was shown. And we're told that the pattern, yes, the sacrifices, yes, the furnishings in the tabernacle, yes, the tabernacle, yes, the temple, yes, the commands, everything about the law, all the types, all the figures, everything written therein were copies of the true. And the writer to the Hebrews says, copies of the true who is Christ. Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of the law, you see. He is the law, and he is Judah, the lawgiver. As Christ did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, he says, all that is revealed in that righteous, perfect, holy standard that God requires stands sure. And as the next verses here in this passage that we look at particularly this morning in Matthew 5, verses 18 to 20. As we see in these verses, they declare God's demands for holiness remain. God's demands for holiness remain. Some, as we shall see in a few moments, would accuse churches such as ours and others like us who proclaim that Christ is all. Christ is all. That faith on Christ is all. That we make the law of God to be an unholy thing. That we declare the standards of God have dropped. Far from it. Far from it. But in declaring this gospel of free and sovereign grace, we are indeed declaring that this law given through Moses must be kept in its entirety. And God must punish sin. And that God Almighty requires perfection. So high is the law of God that only the end of the created world can herald the end of its requirements. Most assuredly, I say to you, says the Son of God, till heaven and earth pass away. Not till then. Till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Now the scribes, especially, and the Pharisees would have understood this. What, not one jot or tittle. Because the scribes, in their favour, we know from Romans chapter, I believe in Romans chapter 3 at the outset, that they faithfully It was given unto them, it was entrusted unto them to indeed copy the word of God. The scriptures were entrusted unto them, and they were faithful in their work. The scribes would not permit a single piece of the scrolls that they copied to be read if one jot or tittle of the Hebrew language and the Aramaic. Not one tiny, what we would consider to be insignificant mark would be missing. If it was, they would tear it up and start again. They were so faithful in that work. Because the whole meaning of the words would be changed, you see. So perfect is God's word, it must be fulfilled in its entirety. It is indeed the perfect bar of God's demanded justice. Justice in this world is a farce. Sometimes it's carried out, sometimes it's not. There's always someone who can be bought in this world. Not God. Not with his justice. His justice is perfect, and his justice must be carried out. And as we saw last time, to be accepted before this holy, righteous God, you must be holy and righteous and good. Anyone here holy and righteous and good? Well, not of yourself. But if you belong to Christ, if you're in Christ Jesus, that is exactly what you are. Before the holy God. Holy, set apart, and righteous. You can't be anything else. You can't come before God without perfect righteousness. And it is only in his Son. The Lord Jesus is that perfect one. The true, who the things written of in the law are copies of. He is its origin, fulfillment, justice keeper. And in him alone, all his elect are partakers of that perfection with him. That's what the scriptures say. The one who is in Christ Jesus is become partaker of the divine nature. These are wondrous things. These are amazing things. Who can explain? Now, these words of the Saviour in this Sermon on the Mount are much misinterpreted today by legalists who would seek to be made perfect by the works of the law and religious duty. And as I just said a few moments ago, us who hold to this majestic truth that we have passed from death to life and thus believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are justified with God, having passed from death unto life, having eternal life in him, and are free from all condemnation in him, unto justification, declared not guilty before the holy God, if in Christ, we are accused by them who would call themselves reformed and proclaiming that we are sanctified, made holy. Yes, we believe justification by faith. As that servant of God, as I was telling the kids about on Friday night, of the great wonder that took place in Wittenberg when Martin Luther, who was enlightened to these things, that he was justified by faith alone on Christ. As he nailed this to the doors of Wittenberg, sparking much of the Reformation in Europe. Yes, they will say, we believe these things. But then they separate justification from sanctification, from holiness. Well, what can you do to make yourself holy? By observing the moral law, they say, namely the Ten Commandments, they place the law into different compartments, which indeed there are, but they separate the law. Such call us lawbreakers, and their favourite title and label is antinomian. Don't be frightened of these words. Antinomian, meaning there are antinomians, meaning, this word meaning, we believe, they say this of us, they say that we believe and teach that one trusting Christ can live as we like now, because we are not under law but under grace. Well, anyone who teaches such a thing, that's a wicked teaching. And in fact, proves themselves to still be in bondage. As Romans 6 says, sin having dominion over them. But tell me. Please tell me. Now, when have you heard? When have you heard such liberty being given? When have you heard such a thing from this man, or indeed others we stand in fellowship with, preaching the gospel of God's free sovereign grace and finished work of Christ and him crucified? When have you heard such a wicked thing? To wink at sin, to excuse sin, to say, do as you like, it doesn't matter, Jesus loves you. No. For you see, the one born of God has no desire of sin. The one born of God has a hatred of sin. Doesn't mean that the one born of God does not sin. But the one born of God desires to do thy law after the inward parts. The new nature, you see. Now, as the word of God says in Romans chapter 6, so we proclaim. Romans chapter 6, verse 8, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offence. For if by the one man's offence many died. Sorry, I'm reading from verse chapter 5. I do beg your pardon. Chapter 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Shall we willfully sin? Shall we live in sin? Shall we continue in our old path? Of rebellion against God? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You see, the child of God struggles with sin, as I said. The child of God wars with sin, the new nature, which does not sin. Wars with the old nature, which has gone nowhere. And the two are contrary, the one to the other. And oftentimes that you cannot do the things that you want. Just read Romans 7. But thanks be to God, in Christ Jesus we do. Because we're not under the dominion of sin. We're under the attack of sin. Many who claim to preach the gospel love to separate the law of God into sections. Christ Jesus says here, his whole point in what he's saying here is at the last verse. Your righteousness, you want to be righteous. You want to be declared righteous. You want to be accepted as something you do is righteous. Your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Now, we quite often knock the Pharisees. We knock the Pharisees for their legalism. But the Lord Jesus is not knocking them in this context, in that verse. He is saying in verse 20, he's saying that according to the flesh, according to the fleshly righteousness before men, they're far greater than you. So your righteousness must exceed their righteousness that appears great to you, that even itself is filthy rags. The Apostle Paul, as we've just referred to in Philippians chapter 3, he says, concerning the law, according to the flesh, according to the traditions of his fathers, perfect before everyone else. We need a righteousness that exceeds anything that any man can do. A righteousness like none other. Yes, many like to separate the law of God into sections. Oh, they say, we are not under the ceremonial law or the sacrificial law, but the moral law we live by. The moral law is binding upon us still, and we must keep those commands. Well, the second part of that statement, in context with the Saviour's words, is true. The Ten Commandments, the moral law, is binding. It's binding. It's binding. And we'll be judged as to whether or not we are perfect in all of that. It is binding. And we must keep those commands. We must keep those commands. But not as the legalists teach. For no one in the flesh can keep those commands. Let's address this issue of separating the law for a start. Where on earth, where in the unchanging word of God that we all have before us, does it tell us the law given at Sinai through Moses in any way has been broken up? On the contrary, throughout the scriptures, it says of itself, it is one law. It is one law. The law cannot be separated. The law is not separated. It's not divided. The law is one law. It always was. This teaching that there are sections that we do away with and sections that we still keep today is a teaching of man. You will not find it in the teachings of the apostles even. Nowhere is the answer. Nowhere is this taught in Scripture. Certainly not taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. Most definitely not taught here in Matthew chapter 5. However, we do have the words of the Son of God quite clearly, quite distinctly saying to us here in verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law. He doesn't say, think not that I am come to destroy the Ten Commandments. He says, think not that I am come to destroy my one law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. And guess what? I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And as surely as the law is one law, he has fulfilled in one perfect life, death and resurrection, that one law. Perfectly. All of it. Ceremonial, dietary, sacrificial and moral. It's all perfected in him, who is the law itself. And so the real lawbreakers surely are the legalists. The real antinomians are the legalists. How many times do they... I wish they could hear these words. I really do. The ones who need laws nailed to their walls. To every day tell them to not commit adultery, because every day they desire to commit adultery, apparently. Every day they desire to take the Lord's name in vain. They need to be reminded of this. What foolishness. Not such as being made alive in Christ. We love the law of God in the inward parts now. We can't keep it outwardly, but we love the law of God. And in Christ we keep the law, you see. They are the lawbreakers, surely, spoken of here, particularly by the Lord Jesus. Namely, the Pharisees in context here. And those who are found in the churches today, placing law on top of the finished work of Christ's life, death and glorious resurrection, to bring in, as God said in Daniel 9, what did God say that the Messiah would bring in after he has been cut off, not for himself but for the people? What does it say that he shall bring in? What does it say that shall not need any improvement upon? He shall bring in everlasting righteousness for his people. Tell me, who are the lawbreakers? The Lord Jesus speaks of these Pharisees, and he addresses them. Because they are the ones who are making the excuses. They are the ones who are teaching people that this law is more important and that law is less important. That's exactly what they were doing. Such ones as choose which parts of the law are important, changing it even. Changing its meaning. Such surely are the lawbreakers. For the Pharisees were guilty of changing the meaning of God's law to suit their traditions and practices. Isn't that familiar? See the Saviour's words in Matthew 15. What does he say to them? Matthew 15. Reading from verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the law of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honour your father and your mother. And who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have revealed, have received from me, is a gift to God. Then he need not honour his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Sadly, that is what's happening in places where the truth was more taught in its entirety in years gone by. They would rather teach the teachings and the interpretations of the Word of God of a heretic called Andrew Fuller. You may hear that name. If you hear that name, run a mile. A legalist who contradicts himself left, right and centre in his teaching on law and the so-called free offer. But this is invaded, infected. Dare I say, as Paul would say in Galatians 1, perverted the gospel. Let us not pervert the word of God. Legalists, you see, will always make allowances for the things, those things which God has not commanded. Their traditions. And so Christ speaks here of whoever shall do and teach them. Whoever shall do and teach them. Whoever shall do and teach this law. We would say we don't teach law. Well, that's correct. But we do. We do. Unashamedly, we teach the law of God. But we teach the law of God in Christ Jesus. We teach the law of God fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We teach the law of God as Christ Jesus has indeed, as substitute, performed all that is written in the law of God. Whoever shall teach and do them. Who is that? Who is that? For no one in the flesh does the law of God. No one would be so dishonest to say that they do. None in any way can keep one single commandment of God, as is made clear to us all, where the Saviour enlarges on the commands of the moral law. They go much further than just mere outward acts. For you must perform the law of God and commands, therefore, inwardly as well as without. I say to you, he says. The Lord goes on to speak of this in our passage in a little later on in the Sermon on the Mount. Here in Matthew 5, we pick up in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raka, good for nothing, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. See verses 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Do you remember? Do you remember the woman caught in adultery? They flung her before the Saviour. The audacity of it. As would be seen when the Saviour gazed upon them. As they held those stones to, as they saw it, legitimately, actually perform the law of Moses. She was caught in the very act. There were witnesses. They had the stones ready to stone her to death. But of course we see just the woman. The law of God said they were both to be stoned to death. See how man tampers with the word. But what did the Saviour say? He gazed on those men and he said, you have my permission. You go right ahead. You stone this woman to death. Justly under the law. Firstly, I say this to you. I want one of you to stand up and tell me and show that you're worthy to have the honour of casting that first stone. You that's without sin. And an amazing thing happened, didn't it? Starting not with the young lad who was just learning the religion of his father's, starting from probably the most pious, the most respected of them, starting from the oldest to the youngest, they put down their stones one by one and walked away. Because he searched into their hearts. They didn't commit adultery, not openly, but every day they knew they were guilty of heinous crimes before God. You see, the law is an inward law as well as an outward law. And legalists, as I said, will always make allowances for those things which are the traditions of men rather than the teachings of God. But see how impossible it is to be found then, keeping the Ten Commandments, as the Lord said here. You've got to keep them in heart and mind as well as physically. Who can do such a thing? To keep perfectly the commands of God as God requires. The one who is accepted righteous before God Almighty is told quite clearly here to not seek after in any way to be made holy by legalistic works of religion. That's the overall teaching of the gospel. That's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to look unto me and be saved. Galatians 5:1 saying, stand fast therefore. Paul got this gospel from the Lord Jesus. That's why I read that at the beginning. He got this word from the Lord Jesus. This isn't the teachings of Paul. This is the teachings of Christ. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be not entangled with law. You see, because the law was given to reveal sin. The law is God's legal binding requirement, just like though any books of law you'll see in a judge's chamber, it declares guilt. When someone's up before the bench, before a judge or a magistrate, you'd hope that they've studied the law. They know what's against the law, don't they? Those books of law are not declaring innocence, are they? They're declaring if someone has done such and such, they're guilty. The law was given to reveal sin, that we might all indeed be found guilty before God. The liberty that is in Christ, who is the substitute Saviour, having made his people righteous in his righteousness, you who belong to Christ, his holiness is your holiness. His obedience, your obedience. And you are made the righteousness of God in him, not in yourself. Christ in no way is teaching here in this discourse that anyone can make themselves righteous, acceptable, holy before God by commands that they do or teach others. Your sin, your guilt, he was made. And your punishment became his just, right punishment when he hung on that cross, bearing the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. He atoned for sin. God's anger was satisfied because sin was punished, rightly punished. You who know the Saviour, echo with the apostles' words, I am crucified with Christ. You didn't get off scot-free. You were punished, but in a Saviour, in a substitute Saviour. Hallelujah. And when we read those wonderful words that we know so well in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Oh, how people misread these words. It speaks of the works of fleshly religion. That's the context. Walk not according to the flesh. Walk not according to fleshly religion, the act of our will. Oh no. For see, only in Christ, by Christ, do you keep the law of God. For verses 2 to 4 of that passage in Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, could not be kept by sinners. It was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in his own flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be, wait for it, the righteousness of the law, as Jesus said, should be done, should indeed be the one. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless this is performed. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can you comprehend such things? No, you can't. Do you believe such things? Then blessed are you. Finally, see what is missing in the words of the Saviour here. Even conspicuous by its absence. Yes, we can make the words of the Saviour say many things here, if we read them out of context, and if we do not indeed see what he's actually saying here. So much so that the preachers of law observance in any way have no foundation at all. I don't believe they have any foundation in the Lord's words here in Matthew 5. They can look for them, they can find them, they can justify them. But they're not there. Not in what the Saviour is actually teaching. Not in the words of the Saviour, certainly not in the words of his apostles in this gospel age. Such as are born again of the Spirit of God are not in any way needing. Now wait for this. Listen to my words carefully here. Such as are born again of the Spirit of God are not in any way needing to be taught a formal observance of the perfect law of God. Now, I've said already that will get me flung out of most churches. That's because they haven't got a clue what the scriptures are talking about. Sadly. For the words given through the prophet Jeremiah are fulfilled completely when Christ makes us new creations in himself. Turn with me to to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. You see, salvation, righteousness, everything that God requires is all the work of God. It's all the work of God. God does not require anything of his elect that he does not enable us to do. Hebrews chapter 10, we pick up from verse 10. Sorry, chapter 8, and pick up from verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, and I will put my laws. The house of Israel is talking about the church out of every nation, Jew and Gentile. I will put my laws in their mind. I will put my laws in their mind. We are not old covenant people. The Lord Jesus Christ on that Last Supper, done away with is the law. That's what's called the Last Supper. He institutes the Lord's Supper now. Do this in remembrance of me. What does he do? This is my blood of the new covenant. Of the new covenant. We're new covenant believers. I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbour. But the Lord Jesus said, the one that does and teaches the law shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. He did say that. But he's not talking about law observance. He's not talking about works, religion. I will be their God and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbour and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. The law of God is written on the hearts of his people, inscribed by the Holy Spirit himself. So what is the Saviour saying here? The new man created after the image of Christ loves God's law and cannot sin. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God says. John the Apostle tells us that. That which is born of God does not sin. But you say to me, I do sin. I know my sin. Correct. But that's the old nature. That's the old nature. You can't reform the old nature. It's not for reforming. The old man is not for turning. But that which is born of God is pure and holy and righteous. It's made of the image of God's blessed Son. That's why you know this battle within you. Note that when the law was given through Moses unto the people of Israel, and throughout the Old Testament era, this was commanded, that this law of works be kept in order to be holy. Exodus 18:20 says, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Also Leviticus 10:11, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. But as indeed the law was given to this end, ultimately, what was it given? What was it given for? It was given that indeed we should see sin. We should see our sin. We should see our depravity. We should indeed be declared guilty before God's justice. But we read, to this end the law was given to the elect of God, our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ. Our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified. What? By performing law? By living by commandments? Justified by faith on Christ alone. Galatians 3:24. In the flesh we cannot keep God's law. And so the one teaching and truthfully handling the perfect law of God is the one that the Saviour speaks of here, who does and teaches. Handling the perfect law of God as to how it is kept. How is it kept? Perhaps I should have said to you at the outset, here is how you can keep the law. I've discovered how to keep the law of God. Well, here it is. The one handling perfectly the law of God, declaring to you how it is perfectly kept, proclaims this: Christ and Him crucified. That's it. That's it. That's it. Fulfilled. That looking to Him by faith, the scriptures say, imputed to us, placed to our account. Imputed to us is perfect righteousness. And we keep the law through faith on the Lord our righteousness. Do you want to be holy before God? Have you seen your sin now, this morning? Will you be holy before God? Do nothing. Look to Christ. Do you want to obey God? you look in the pages of this book, I'm undone. I cannot keep them. I've failed in all of it. But I'll try more and more. I'll try daily to read it more and more. I'll try to memorize it and keep it. Do you want to obey God? Look to Christ. We preach Christ. Unashamedly, we preach Christ alone. The one who gives perfect righteousness. Why is he the one who gives perfect righteousness? Because he is perfect righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believe on him now and know this to be so. And praise his name.